Beloved radio friends, greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a hearty welcome to the ministry of God's blessed and holy word. My beloved friend, what do you believe are the greatest subjects in the New Testament? Three particular ones. In that New Testament, the section of God's word that relates particularly to the Christian testimony upon the earth today. There are very many precious truths in our New Testament, but I want you to think with me and consider what I am sure are the three greatest truths in the New Testament. Now here is the first one, which I'm sure you will not be able to disagree with. The first greatest truth in the New Testament is this: Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world. He lived a sinless life. At the end of that life, He died upon the cross for our sins. He was buried, and He rose again. And then after His resurrection, He went back to heaven. Now I am sure that you will agree, if you have ever read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that each one of them confirms this great truth. From heaven above, Christ, God's beloved Son, came down to the earth, born as a babe in Bethlehem's manger, lived for approximately 33 years a sinless life, and became a perfect and acceptable sacrifice to God for the sins of the whole world, was buried, He rose again, and 40 days later after His resurrection, He ascended back to heaven with His glorified body. Now let me suggest, this great fact has an eternal effect on every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. It affects the eternal destiny of every human being. The blessed truth of this great message can be clearly condensed by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when He spoke them to Nicodemus, written in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Listen to them. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him or in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now will you think of me about these words the Savior declared? First of all, He refers to the world. God so loved the world, all men, all women, all children, all boys and girls. And is not the world a most unworthy object for His love? Have you ever thought seriously that there is not one person in the world worthy of the love of God? For does not God say in His word, all, not some, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Romans 3:23. Does not God also say that all the world is guilty before God? In Romans 3:19. It is a world of sinners, the only kind of people in the world for God to love. All of them are unworthy. How could He ever do this? But this certainly is one of the greatest facts. And I'm sure many of you, my friends, have often sung the old blessed hymn that the children love. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So let us never forget, God loves sinners, but be reminded He hates sin. But a second fact in our text, think further how God proved that love. For surely the only proof of His great love is the greatness of the gift which He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. The immensity of God's love is fully displayed in the immensity of His gift. and that gift of Christ upon the cross. Listen to the words, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, as you have in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And again, John the Apostle wrote, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son, the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4:10. The world is the unworthy object of his love, but the manifestation of God's love has been proved by the gift that he gave. Now think of the purpose for this love, that we should not perish in John 3:16, which means that we should not have to go to hell, but have everlasting life. Note the closing words of John 3, verse 17, that the world might be saved. Surely it is the greatest love. The sacrificial death of his only begotten Son was the greatest gift. And could there be any greater purpose? That you, my friend, and that I, could be saved? Yes, even the whole world, if you please. You may indeed say, why is not the whole world saved? That's a good question. But it's not God's fault. Many, many are not willing to come to God through Christ his Son. And when upon the earth the Savior said to many, you will not come unto me that ye might have life. 'Twas not that they could not come, they would not. John chapter 5 and verse 40. Nevertheless, the great truth must not and cannot be denied. God's purpose in loving and giving his Son is to provide salvation for the whole world. Now further consider with me in regard to this great gift, and it's one of the greatest subjects of the New Testament, the simplicity of God's terms. Whosoever believeth on him, simple faith, faith, faith. For we are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God says in Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, one very properly wrote the words, I cannot work my soul to save. Take it in, my friend, if you've never done it. I cannot work my soul to save. But listen to the words we read as follows. But this my Lord has done. Have you ever sung the old hymn? Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Oh, my beloved friend, do you not agree with me that the first great subject in the New Testament, you can read it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that God's Son left heaven to be born upon the earth. He lived a sinless life, for he challenged his enemies, which of you convinceth me of sin? They never could prove him to be a sinner. And certainly, he died, we know, for our sins. And he was buried and raised again the third day from the grave. And when you read at the end of Luke's Gospel, he ascended back to heaven, alive forevermore where he now is. Beloved friend, what a truth this is. The greatest subject we can first find in the New Testament. But now wait a moment. God has a question to ask you and me, an important one. For you and I agree to do. He wants to know, have I believed the fact? Have I believed the record? God then says to you and to me, what have you then done with my Son? Do you remember when the Jews cried out? When they wanted Jesus to be crucified? To Pilate they begged for the release of Barabbas, the murderer and the robber. And when he was thus in a great dilemma over their choice, he raised a question. Pilate said, then what shall I do with Jesus? Yes, my beloved friend, that is a good question. If God gave his only begotten Son and I refuse to believe in him, surely the question is, what shall I do with him? I'm sure you must know. You either reject him or you receive him. For he came unto his own, and his own received him not, we read, but as many as received him, To them gave he the right to become the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe upon his name. John 1:11-12. Now, my beloved, on the basis of this great fact, the first greatest fact in the New Testament, God sent his Son from heaven. He was born upon the earth through the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life and died the blessed sacrifice for our sins that was acceptable to God upon the cross. He was buried, but the grave could not hold him. He rose again on the third day, and God put him at the right hand of his throne above in heaven to justify the work that he had done. Now, the question comes to you and me. What will you, and what should I do with Jesus? One has well written the words, "What will you do with Jesus?" Neutral you cannot be, for someday your heart may be asking, "What will he do with me?" We shall have another message next week on the second greatest fact in the New Testament by the will of God. But today, have you settled a question concerning the first greatest fact? Have you received the Lord Jesus, and have you said, "Jesus, I will trust thee. Trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven nor on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me." We repeat the statement we began with. What you do with this greatest fact will settle your eternal destiny. If you believe it and receive it, it will bring you eternal life in heaven. If you reject it, it will soon your eternal doom in hell. Oh, my beloved friend, take the Lord Jesus now. Lord Jesus, we pray in the name, thine own precious worthy name, by the Holy Spirit convict and convert some dear souls to receive me now as their Savior from their sins. Amen.